But we kick off the second hour of the show by welcoming into our studio a man who was an engineer by trade and came to seek a greater understanding of the climate change issue. And he did that, and now he's written a book about it called Climatism: Science, Common Sense, and the 21st Century's Hottest Topic. He's out of Chicago, Illinois. His name is Steve Gorham, and we're happy to have him here in our studios this morning. How are you?
Good morning, Frank. I'm fine.
Sorry about the rain. Did you bring it in from Chicago?
Pleased to be here. Actually, I drove all the way in this morning through the rain, four hours.
Well, that's not too bad. At least you don't have to shovel the rain. That's what we always like to say about that. Or the sunshine, by the way. It's okay for that. Now, climatism. How did you come to write a book on climate change? How did an engineer come to gain all this interest in the subject?
Well, it's a topic I've been interested in a while, and everyone hears all the press releases and watches PBS and sees everything going on television, and something just didn't ring true with me.
Were you a believer when you first saw all these stories and heard that half of the plant life on Earth is going to die and the ice caps are going to melt?
I've been a little bit skeptical because it keeps coming back to me as both, if we were in this spot in Detroit, where Detroit is now 15,000 years ago, we'd be under 5,000 feet of ice.
Right, it was a glacier.
So it seems like natural cycles need to play some part.
Well, those first SUVs thankfully melted it all, you know?
Right.
But so you came to understand that some of this didn't make sense. What drove you eventually to get into the business of really researching it and doing a book on it, though?
Well, the guy who wrote the foreword to my book, John Coleman, who's a meteorologist out with KUSI in San Diego.
He's one of the founders of the Weather Channel. He's been on the show with us, too.
Yeah, he pushed me over the top here. He's a very outspoken skeptic. And so I went out and I met all the scientists. I read everything I could on the subject and researched and really, I think, did a top-to-bottom book. I discussed the science in the first six chapters, the politics and the struggle between the skeptics and the climatists in the middle five chapters. And then the last six, I talk about renewable energy. And there's a lot of misconceptions in the American public and around the world about how well renewable energy works.
Well, let's talk about that for a moment, because renewables have been a big part of the discussion here in Michigan for some time. We adopted an energy policy in our state, both parties did, to increase our cost for utilities as consumers to help to subsidize the growth of the windmill industry and the solar industry here in the state, with the idea that we're going to have a certain percentage, I forget what the number is now, of energy produced by alternatives in just 15 years.
Yes, you have a renewable portfolio standard, as it says. Illinois also has one of those. 29 states have those. And those are basically mandates on the utilities to buy renewable energy. And that cost, of course, gets passed on to consumers. Most people also don't know that wind power and solar power are between 30% and 50% subsidized by our tax dollars. And that's not only initial investment, that's every kilowatt of power that is produced.
But we're told the oil industry is subsidized too. Come on.
Well, that's not the case. If you can look at Department of energy statistics on where the subsidies are going, and wind and solar are by far the biggest amount, and on a amount of power produced, they're huge versus the rest of the industries. And those industries would not exist without the subsidies today.
They've been tried before.
They've been tried for many years.
Yes. and they have been inefficient, costly, and yet we have all these renewable standards that are mandated by governments. Why are they mandated?
It's because of climatism, because 192 out of 193 heads of state of the world believe they are enacting policies to set up renewables to try and stop the globe from warming up. But the science overwhelmingly shows that global warming is due to natural cycles of the Earth, not man-made greenhouse gas emissions. I call this a madness. If madness is defined as being out of touch with reality, that's where we are. The reality is that it's due to natural cycles and not man-made emissions.
Steve, was there one piece of information that put you over the top and said, your own Rosetta Stone, in other words, where you said, this proves it for me once and for all, this is all a scam?
Not really one piece. There are many, many items. I spend chapter 6 in the book going through all of the disasters that are being discussed: ice cap melting, species extinction, deaths from heat situations, all the different disasters that are predicted, sea level rise, and they really, if you look at the trends and you look at the science, they're all nonsense. So it really is a big misconception for every citizen on Earth.
One of the things that's been fascinating to me is all the predictions they've made, none have come true. If you look back at the IPCC and the predictions that have been in there since they began, and not just their last report, they put out, what, three reports now, is it, or two?
There's four. Four assessment is there four? Reports, and they're working on the fifth.
Yeah, and their projections are never right.
I think listeners need to understand that all this is over 1 degree. We've had 1 degree Fahrenheit of temperature rise, actually 1.3 degrees Fahrenheit, since the Civil War. Everything else is a computer model projection, and we're doing handsprings. And as we say, the world was 7 to 12 degrees centigrade, about 10 to 15 degrees Fahrenheit colder during the last ice age. All that warm-up was natural. Now we're doing handsprings over 1 degree, and people are saying carbon dioxide is doing it, which is wrong.
Do you talk to scientists? Are you quoting scientists in the book?
Oh, absolutely. I have 1,000 references in the book. One of the things about the book, I'm not a scientist myself, so I've written the book to be understandable for every citizen. And I don't take my own scientific views, of course. I take the views of many, many scientists. I also have 135 figures in the book to show in terms of graphs and in terms of pictures all the evidence for natural cycles of the Earth and all the evidence against renewable energy as a good form of energy for us.
You were an engineer, as I mentioned earlier, before you went with a full head of steam toward this book. Are you still working as an engineer, or have you given that up now?
No, I'm 100% working on the book and working on trying to dispel this issue of climate.
You worked at Motorola.
I did.
And you were telling me off air that you were at a shareholders meeting.
Well, Motorola is typical of many corporations in the world, I think. I do believe, I should say my point of view is that climatism is believed by the proponents. A lot of people will call this a scam, but I think most of the people out there think the world is warming up and it's their duty to try and save the planet from warming. And Motorola is a good corporate citizen. They want to be green. They're counting their carbon dioxide. Yeah, I was at a shareholders meeting Monday. They are in favor of cap and trade. They are buying renewable energy at expensive prices. Unfortunately, I think the message I gave to them was your policy is nonsense. You really need to apply the excellence that you apply to product development to your climate policy.
What was the reaction?
There was some applause from the shareholders. I didn't really expect an answer from the board of directors, but hopefully we gave them something to think about.
Do you think that there will be an awakening, if you will, in this country at some point over what has happened with this entire argument, how it's been forced through without any debate whatsoever?
Well, there already is a little bit. You know, there's a basic common sense in everyday citizen that our leaders don't seem to have. And a lot of people are very skeptical about this whole topic.
As they should be.
And we've recently seen polls start to shift in the United States and in Europe and in Australia. And we see many of the governments stepping back from policies they're trying to put into place just because they're not able to do it. But nevertheless, I've not seen one leader of any nation of the world, with the exception of Václav Klaus of the Czech Republic, who's been an opponent of this whole idea for a long time. But everyone else keeps marching down this road, and they're just concerned that they can't get this through their Senate or wherever.
Follow the money, my friend. Follow the money, always.
Yeah, there are many, many groups that have gotten on this bandwagon, including the United Nations, that wants to level equality between nations and redistribute wealth, the environmental groups. Companies like General Electric, who has a $6 billion wind turbine business. There are many others that are profiting, many companies that are profiting from this. But we need, it's up to each citizen to try and educate themselves and find the real story, because the politics and the news media is not going to tell them the real story.
Books like yours will help them do that. I hope people will take the time to meet you. Steve Gorham with his book, Climatism. Just look for it under that name. That's the easiest way to do it. I won't give the subtitle there. But you'll be in Grosse Pointe tomorrow at Barnes & Noble, noon to 2:30, to sign copies of your new book at Borders in Grosse Pointe, 3 to 6 o'clock tomorrow, and you're available at Amazon.com.
Right, and if they just want to come out and talk about the climate, I'm happy to do that.
All right, we hope to clear this rain out for you by then, too. Thanks for stopping by and seeing us.
Thank you, Frank.
Steve Gorham, the book, Climatism, Science, Common Sense, and the 21st Century's Hottest Topic.